Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Therapy Thursday episode. Today, like last week's episode, Ashot will not be here. He's still working on his house renovations, and he's taking he's taking time off from the podcast to finish that up so that he can come back, you know, stronger than ever. And as you know, or you've probably noticed, we didn't have an episode this past Monday. Originally, I was going to do a follow-up to the financial series, but I thought that it'd be best to get his perspective and not just have my perspective. Even though we're pretty aligned in our views, it's still always good to have a little bit of somebody challenging your beliefs when you're flushing them out in front of, you know, the world stage at this point. So it'll just be me giving a quick update as to why that happened. Of course, like I said, he's working on his house. And also just, you know, a lot of times we preach, you know, you need to take time for yourself, take mental health days, take breaks. And that's what he's doing, right? He's taking a break to work on some other important stuff in his life. And I definitely don't fault him for doing it or anything like that. And overall, I definitely support it, right? And I support him, and, you know, I still check in with him, and he checks with me, and we make sure that we're both doing all right, because he has been really busy, and sometimes I'll get text messages of him doing something, or, you know, follow his Instagram, and it'll be all house-related, and the backyard's torn up, and all this stuff. So, he's, you know, one of the hardest-working people that I know, and right now I know he's working double time, both at his normal job and then also at his night job, which is to fix up the house. So I'm looking forward to having him back in potentially a week or two, and also just seeing the progress that he's made on the house. I definitely asked him for some before and after pictures, so hopefully we'll be able to, you know, check in on his progress. So as far as me, things are pretty good, looking up. You know, there's still a lot going on in the world with vaccines and all this other stuff. I've kind of tuned everything out this past week. I know that there are positive things happening on the vaccine front and the COVID front, and hopefully that helps everybody have less anxiety moving forward. However, for me personally, I just decided, you know, I don't want just positive news, and I definitely don't want to read all the negative news, even though it's like that car crash, right? I'm just attracted to the negative news. Oh my God, there's more cases, or there's another variant, or oh my God, there's this, right? It's kind of exciting in that sense. However, I've just decided to take a step back and tune out most of it, you know, and just work internally a bit, take a step back from the social media and everything, and kind of just relax and let myself breathe and just say, you know, things are looking up, they're getting better, they're going to get better, they're going to keep getting better, hopefully. And it's time to just take a breath, right? I don't need any news. I don't need any updates. I'm fine. So just go through and live my life and, you know, go to work and come home and meditate and work out and eat and diet and meds and all that stuff that we preach. And just trying to live that life, not only for myself, but also for everybody listening at home, right? I mean, we still struggle. We're still human. And we want to give you that little bit of insight into our lives so that hopefully it helps you a little bit. And, you know, we still have good days and bad days. And we're still working towards those things. One thing I did want to point out, though, that happened today, actually, was we had this big kind of presentation to demo some of the software we've been working on for this particular customer. And it's one of the projects I'm heading up with a few other team members. And we had to go through and demo all these things, and it was a three-hour meeting. So it's the first of many that are going to happen throughout this upcoming week, where we're basically on a webcam, microphone, and have to showcase everything that we've been working on, right? So a lot of eyes on it, a lot of pressure for a lot of the team members. And for me, I said, hey, I'll volunteer to be the guy who's going to speak to everybody, who's kind of going to narrate, right? And they kind of like had already pre-selected me for this, but I said, I'll do it and I'll do my best at it. Now, that's not something that I think most people, if you have anxiety would say, hey, let me do this thing. Let me be in charge of this presentation, right? You probably want to be the person who's sitting in the back, maybe just pressing the buttons or changing the PowerPoint slides or demoing some other functionality to the customer without divulging too much of what we do. But what I realized was early on, and this is going to kind of relate to how trauma that you go through can change your worldview. So when I was younger, it's a little bit of backstory, I was always the kid that raised my hand as soon as the teacher would ask the question. I would always stay after. I would talk to the teachers. I would help them. I would volunteer for everything. Right? No matter what the question was, I wanted to have an answer because not only was I right and I liked being right, I also really wanted to give them the feedback. Right? A lot of times teachers will ask a question. Nobody says anything. Waiting. Next thing you know, they have to pick on somebody. And then maybe that person's embarrassed or anxious or whatever. So I always felt like I could handle that. Well, sometime in high school, I don't know the exact class, but I believe that, you know, I put my hand up and gave an answer and the teacher was like, that's dumb. And from that moment and those interactions with that teacher, I started to get quieter and quieter and raise my hand less because I'm like, oh, I'm dumb. Maybe people don't want to hear me. Maybe people don't care what I have to say. What if I get the answer wrong? Or what if I'm too excited? Or what if I'm like overly excited? Now I'm like the nerdy kid or whatever. All these things and thoughts are running through your head when you're young. And it kind of changed my worldview going into college. So in college, we had this particular class, which was on a video game design, which is really cool. And I was thinking about switching my major into this class, so I had to take this intro. And the professor gave us two options. He said, either you can do a 5-minute presentation on a video game, or you can write a like 5-page paper on the mechanics of a video game. So I'm sitting there weighing my options and going, you know, 5-page paper, I think it was double space, so really 2.5 pages, right? Not that big. I could do that pretty easy. Just pick a game, write the prompt. However, in that moment, I don't know exactly what it was. I just said, I'm going to challenge myself. And I said, I'm going to do the presentation. So we got in groups and, you know, half the class was doing papers, half the class was doing presentations. So then we got to present. And I believe I presented on Call of Duty and talked about how they did the motion capture animations for different facial recognition software and how they were able to convey people's personalities in the game characters. And this was early on, maybe 2010. So motion capture's come a really long way since there, especially with different animation studios like Pixar and DreamWorks. However, back then it was still a little bit more crude, so it was an investigation of that. So, you know, I gave the presentation. I was really nervous, but, you know, people said it went pretty well. It was okay. And ever since then, I just thought, you know what, I need to challenge myself more. I need to take that proactive step. So I was kind of in that same position with this team project at work where I'm sitting there going, well, I could be the person who narrates everything. I don't mind doing it. And nobody else really kind of wanted to do it. So I said, I'll do it. So I did it and I got some good feedback from the customer and from some of our other team members. But what was interesting was my perspective was I was thanking my team members because I said, hey, you know, you have the tough job because you have to listen to what I'm saying and then demo it and then make sure that you know, the cameras are set up and everything for the customer and whatever, right? Because it's this huge multi-setup. But they were so thankful for me because they said, no, you did a good job because I didn't have to speak and I didn't have to get put on the spot. And you were able to take the brunt of that. And, you know, you kept the customer engaged and you were talking to them and cracking jokes because I've known a few of them for a few years and I've worked with them on different projects. So it was interesting seeing both sides of that coin because now that I've developed my speaking skills in a way that allows me to have those opportunities, I kind of see the other side where other people are still kind of nervous and a little bit more shy in those opportunities. So, you know, with that, I would recommend if you do want to get to know more about public speaking, and we're going to do an episode on it as well with one of our friends who's a public speaking teacher. Actually, he's a professor. Sorry, Matt. Different Matt. we're going to talk about that later in tips and tricks and things, because that, because that's one of the greatest fears that people have, and one of the greatest anxiety inducing things you can have is giving a speech or being put on the spot like that. So if you, I've mentioned before that I do Toastmasters at work. I just started doing that a few months ago. That's a really great opportunity. Also, anything where you can just live stream with a few friends and just get to speak if you want to practice more is a great opportunity as well. Especially if you're more comfortable with people, you'll be able to more easily feel relaxed in that situation, which will then allow you to kind of just not be as tense and not be as anxious. But of course, it's something that you're going to have to work on if that's something that you wish to pursue, right? Anything that you want to do that requires work and attention is going to be a little bit stressful in the beginning and kind of make you look like a fool, right? They say like the cost of entry to become a master is first looking like a fool. So nobody is super graceful from the day they're born, right? Even people that you know that are very charismatic and very social. I've talked to a lot of my friends that are that way. And I'm like, dude, were you just always this charismatic? And they said, no, I read a book about it. I work on this. I'm very, very in tune with body language and tonality and making sure that everybody in the room feels welcome. And then I, you know, thought, oh shit, you can learn this. Let me, you know, take the resources you learn from. Let me learn it myself and try to apply it. So it's something you can always work on. And I know that it can be very scary. And it's weird because instead of feeling anxiety about it, I felt excited. I was like, yeah, I get to speak and I get to do this. And, you know, my heart was beating a little bit quicker, right? And my Apple Watch is probably like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you exercising? It's the middle of the day. But it's because I framed it in that way, saying I'm excited to do this. I get to lead and I get to make it in a way that helps the team, because then they don't have to present. I get to bear that kind of brunt for them. So with all that in mind, you know, whatever you are working on with your anxiety at home, maybe challenge yourself to go that little extra step. And, you know, if it's something that it's your goal and you want to accomplish, you can definitely do it. And we've given you some tools on how to do that. And there's some that we're still going to talk about in the future episodes, right? One of them that we're talking about in the series that once the shot gets back, we're going to finish up is like finances, right? If you don't have money, money is a huge deal. And it kind of reminds me of a relationship quote. And the quote is, you know, when you're in a relationship, if the sex is good, sex is 5% of the relationship. But if sex is bad, then it's 90% of the relationship. And when you look at that quote, it kind of means, okay, if you're not having sex or you're not getting your needs met, that's all you think about, right? But if you are getting your needs met, and it's intimate or compassion or loving or, you know, cuddling or whatever, right? Like the physical needs that we have as human beings, if you're getting those met, then you don't care about it as much. And it's kind of the same thing with finances, right? When you're looking at your finances, if you had $10 million in your bank account, you wouldn't care if you went to the store between picking organic and regular beef. You would just say, give me whatever's healthiest, right? And in some circumstances, that may be the organic, depending on if it's actually grass-fed, raised, and whatever else, other kind of prep that goes into it, right? I don't know as much about differences between beef, but, you know, you could do like homegrown organic vegetables versus frozen ones, right? Buy things that are fresh versus frozen, right? Because usually the fresh and the better stuff is usually a little more expensive, whereas the overproduced, factory produced, kind of unlimited supply is kind of cheaper quality, right? And you obviously see that sometimes where people worry about like antibiotics and milk, growth hormone, different things that, you know, you have to kind of keep the livestock healthy and in weird ways to be able to produce the amount of content and milk and food, etc. But, you know, if you have all that money, the point is that you don't care between the two. Or let's say you had $1 million and they were going to ask you about putting tires on your car, right? And you go, well, what's the best tire? You're not going to say what's the cheapest. So if you are asking what's the best versus what's the cheapest, it means that you're probably in a situation where maybe you have your finances under control, but with the way that, you know, debt is structured and credit cards and student loans in the US and in the rest of the world, it can be very, very overwhelming to see those big numbers pile up, which is why we wanted to kind of tap into that. And like I said, there's going to be a little bit of a hiatus. There may not be an episode Monday, this upcoming Monday, just because Ashad will still be gone. I'm going to talk to him about it. Maybe I'll just do a quick introduction to some of the topics, and then we'll do a follow-on when he's available. We haven't decided yet, but, you know, bear with us with that little bit of an absence. So, yeah, I mean, I did want to explain that and then talk a little bit about my day, and then explain that overall, you know, I think if you just challenge yourself to take that extra step, you can see great reward and great progress on the other side. And overall, I hope that everybody at home, all of our listeners, all the people who haven't become listeners yet, you're getting through it. I genuinely hope that everybody at home, your days are a little bit better, a little bit brighter, a little bit less anxious, and a little bit more positive. So with that, I will talk to you all again when I talk to you. If it's upcoming Monday, great. If it's not, we'll be back soon enough. Don't worry. We know that you'll miss us. We definitely miss you guys, as you can tell. I don't mind sitting on the mic and talking for hours at a time, even though this is about, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And yeah, so that's it. I will see everybody when I see you. Have a great day.